spoke to my heart. I'll tell you what, my start with a purpose. Dirt with a purpose. Starting right now. So this third dirt that I'm saying right now is number three. Catch up there. Catch up. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight. to chapter 9 of John. I wasn't going to tell you where to go. To chapter 9 of John, starting in verse 1 through 11. I'll tell you what, sometimes that dyslexia just creeps right up there. And this is what it says. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spit on the ground, made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and he washed, and he came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. Father God, I just thank you for this word tonight. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. So God, I ask that tonight you hide me behind your word, behind your blood, God, and you speak. God, that every heart would be open, God, that every spirit would be open to whatever your spirit is saying tonight. God, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So Father God, tonight, use your word. Cut away what doesn't belong in us, God, and keep what's there healthy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Dirt with a purpose. I have to tell you, I shuddered when I said the word spit. There are probably like two things on this planet that can make me sick almost immediately, and spit is one of them. It's nasty. It's nasty, nasty, nasty. My kids, who kids fight, it's a thing. I don't know. It's a thing. And my kids, sometimes they spit on each other, which is disgusting. It's very rare. But mamas, how many of you would sit here and say, if your child ever spit on one another, it made you angry real fast? It makes me livid if my child spits at another human. That's gross to me. So when I read this, I said, that's nasty. That's one of the reasons I spoke about it Wednesday night. We were preaching a series called That's Nasty, and that's kind of where I went. And I was like, that is nasty. The other thing that I don't like is I hate dirt. That's why I have a hydroponics garden, so I don't have to mess with it. Don't like dirt, which is funny because I'm always barefoot. You'd think it wouldn't bother me, but it does. So I'm reading this and I'm going, God, really, dirt and spit? You could have done anything. You could have done absolutely anything, and you chose to do this. So here's what I want to tell you. Tonight, I'm going to break it down for you. We're just going to kind of go through it. Probably a little bit more teaching tonight than normally. Maybe. I'm not going to promise anything. But I want to speak to you tonight about why this moment specifically happened and what it means to you. So if I want you to look with me at verses 1 through 2, and it's where Jesus saw him. And this is what it says. Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. The very first thing that he sees is the man. And then it mentions that he was blind. Jesus saw him, and he was blind. Everybody else in here was saying, how come he's blind? Like, all they could see was the issue, and they wanted to know why the issue was there. They could not see the value that this man held. To them, he was nothing but a beggar. He was nothing but somebody who sits on the side of the road and just calls for alms and begs for money because he can't see to work. And so they, in their curiosity, or as in modern times, their gossipy spirit, wanted to know why the man was blind. They lived in a time where if you're sick or blind or maimed or you can't get up and walk around, it's because there was sin in your life. Now, that was sometimes actually the reason why, but this man was born that way. And they ask the dumbest question I think I've ever heard. Is it his fault that he was born that way? Really? Hello? Is it his fault that he was born? Did he sin to be born blind? I don't think it works like that. And so Jesus answered, no. No. And he says this. It was neither him or his parents that sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. A lot of times people look at our mess or the issues that we have, and all they care about is our issues. Jesus saw the man. Jesus is looking at you, the man or the woman, the child. He's looking at you, not your issues. He acknowledged that the issue was there. And Jesus saw a man. Yeah, he was blind. Yeah, he's blind. And Jesus saw a woman who had kids and didn't have a husband. Okay. But he saw the person. Jesus saw me at 19 as a single mom. The single mom was a side note. He saw me. Yeah. Why are you drilling this? Because you need to understand that, yes, you might have a mess, but he sees you. Yeah. Your mess is a side note. He wasn't worried about the mess. The other thing I want you to notice is this man never asked for Jesus to heal him. He never said, heal me. It's not there. Jesus saw him. He saw the issue. The man couldn't see Jesus. He saw the issue. And so without the man crying out to God, he went to him so that God may be revealed, so that the work of God may be revealed in him. So here's the thing, is some of you are probably sitting here saying, everybody just sees my mess. I don't know why I keep saying this. Somebody needs to hear this. Yes, you have a mess, but I see you, he says. I see you in the middle of it. He knows you. He knows the mess is there. It's not a big issue to him. If you read it, he already planned to take care of it. It wasn't an issue. So he sees you. It's not an issue. He's already got a plan to take care of it. He's already planning to fix it, to handle it. Number two, he gives recognition to the reason. He gives recognition to the reason. They're blaming it on sin. Some of y'all been struggling your whole life, and people blaming it on sin, and people blaming it on this. They're blaming it on your mama. They're blaming it on your daddy. You're blaming it on your upbringing. You're blaming all of these issues on things that can be touched and felt and smelt and heard. Forgetting the fact that sometimes it is very legitimate that we're in a mess so the glory of God could be revealed in us. When I had my son, I did not expect that I would give birth to a child who was going to be ill for the majority of his first 3 years of his life, to the point where I can tell you every nook and cranny of St. Louis Children's Hospital and Cardinal Glennon Hospital in St. Louis. I mean, I can tell you where to find everything. Know that place like the back of my hand. Was that because I sinned? Was that because this baby sinned? No. It was so that the glory of God could be revealed in him. And this is what Jesus says. He says, neither him nor his parents sinned, but so that the works of God may be revealed in him. So that's number two. I want you to hold on. We're going somewhere. So you might not understand the issue.
God already knows you've got the issue. What does James say? What does it say? It says, brethren, rejoice. Why? Because every trial, every weakness that you have is a chance for God to reveal His glory in your life. Every issue that you go through, every circumstance that you experience, every shortcoming, every weakness, every I can't do it and God's still telling me to do it is a chance for God's glory to be revealed in you. The whole reason that Jesus even came. I want you to catch this. The whole reason Jesus even came to this earth was so that the glory of God could be renewed to the sons and daughters. He came to renew the righteousness of God. He came to renew the relationship with the Father so that His glory could be revealed in the earth once again. So the whole reason that this man experienced this was so that God would receive glory. How many of you have known people in your lifetime where they've been sick and God's done a miraculous healing instantly? What happened? They gave glory to God so that those around them would know how good He is. So that those around Him would know Him as healer. So you might not understand it. And you might be going through something right now. But the glory of God can be revealed if you follow the next part. Just hang on and listen. So then Jesus spits in the ground. He spits in the ground and He rubs it in His eyes. Listen. Here's this man sitting on the side of the road, begging, living a junky life. And this man comes up who sees him, says that the glory of God's going to be revealed, and spits on him. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody comes up to me and decides, you have an issue and I'm going to put my spit on it, I'm going to have a problem. This man didn't ask for God to, for Jesus to spit in his eyes or in the dirt. Here's the thing. The dirt of that time, it's not just going out here and digging up a rose bush and getting the dirt underneath it. The dirt was the street. Camels, donkeys, assorted chickens or whatever else could be roaming the streets, cats, whatever, running all around, human. I'm talking about urine and feces all over the dirt. And Jesus bends over, spits in the dirt, picks up this contaminated dirt, and rubs it in the man's eyes. I'm sorry, what? I would have been upset. You're going to put that in I'm sure it smelled. There was no such thing as Thieves Aroma Bright toothpaste back then. So I'm sure that that was an interesting scent all on its own. And He rubs it in the man's eyes. So He takes something that humans naturally reject, which is spit. You get too much saliva in your mouth, and what do? You need to spit it out. Or if you're a lady, you swallow it. I don't do that. If you have too much or something added to that, which I will not say that out loud, if you have that, it has to be spit out. It's a natural rejection. And He takes dirt, which is trampled on, peed on, pooped on, all the junk, all the time, no way to clean it up. And He takes the two and He mixes them together and He rubs them on a man's eyes who had been rejected. Rejection, 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 healing? How does that make sense, God? So I begin to ask Him, how does it make sense? Spit naturally rejected. Dirt walked on, used animal, made clay. And all the people around Him are saying, none of that is worth using. I want you to catch that. Naturally rejected spit. Trampled on dirt. A rejected man. And people around are saying, you can't use spit for anything. What are you going to use it for? You can't use that nasty dirt for anything good. What are you going to use it for? The blind man, who apparently they thought somebody sinned, he's no good. So why did God make clay, though? It still doesn't make sense. Why? I understand that, you know, God's taking something that's naturally rejected and he's going to renew it. I can get that. But why clay? And the lady who does my hair, Bethany, she asked me the other day when we were talking, she goes, "Can you tell me why Jesus decided to use clay?" And I went, "No." So I began to pray and I said, "God, why? God, why?" And I want you to catch this. In that moment, when Jesus said, it's not because his father sinned or his mother or him, but so that the works of God can be revealed in him. And then he bent down into the dirt after he said all of what he said, spit, made clay, put it on his eyes. He was demonstrating something. Demonstrating something exactly. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Jesus was specifically demonstrating in that moment that he, from the foundations of the earth, was indeed God. He was indeed who he said he was. And in that moment took the very thing that man was made from, the very thing that everybody said was no good, took the very thing that we could all sit here and think is worth nothing, and took that man that was worthless to society and remade him. Not only was it an exact example of who he was as creator, it was an exact example of what he was going to do in the earth. He was going to take what was rejected, his spit. He was rejected for us. The dirt. The man was from dirt. He took himself as rejection and put on rejection to create something new. To heal, to restore, to say it doesn't matter what people see you as useless. It doesn't matter that people see you as worthless. It doesn't matter that you're rejected. I have a plan for you so that my glory can be revealed in you, and I'm going to make you completely brand new. I said, "What? God, you just made my head explode. I will use my rejection and take it and spit on your rejection, cover it, create something new, and heal you." Completely healed. Completely healed. Rejected. What did he tell that man who was minding his own business and the disciples decided that they needed to pick on him? What was he telling him? "Son, you're not just dirt. This is not just dirt. You're dirt with a purpose." You guys didn't get it. You didn't get it. I'm going to come back here where it looks like she's going to get it. "Sister, you're not just dirt. You're not just discarded. You're not just worthless. You're not just somebody out there doing the things because this is what your life was supposed to be. Your life is like this right now so that the glory of God can be revealed in you. You're not just dirt. You're dirt with a purpose. Dirt with a purpose. And when he put on rejection for you, he said, here's my rejection so you can be healed. So you're no longer worthless. You're dirt with a purpose. I'm not worthless anymore. I'm dirt with a purpose. God made dirt." We said that when we were kids. "God made dirt. Dirt don't hurt." I say that all the time. I don't know why. That's so gross. "God made dirt. Dirt don't hurt." God made dirt. Why? He had every intention of using it to make this walking, breathing lump of something
because he had a plan so that others through my pain would see him revealed. It wasn't worth, my pain wasn't worthless. He was telling him, you haven't gone your whole life lacking your vision for nothing. Everyone around him began to question, is this that man? How many of you, when God decided that he was going to spit on the ground and throw it on your eyeballs and open your eyes to see who he really is, how many of you say the people around you started to not be able to recognize you? Or some of them said, yeah, that's her. And then other people would say, ah, nah, that person just looks like him. And then you're able to open up and you're able to say, no, that is me. Later on in the scripture, he says, no, all I know is I was born blind. And this man healed me. So much so that the church rejected him, excommunicated him, and kicked him out. He was no longer able to even come into the temple. So sometimes when God does a work in your life and other people begin to recognize it, some people are going to get mad. And they're going to kick you out of their life. They don't want nothing to do with you. They start calling you crazy. Then they start saying all kinds of other stuff. And then it's gone. You're gone. You're not welcome here anymore. But that man went to Jesus again. And he decided right then and there that he was going to follow him. Okay, Pastor Anna, where are you going? You said if we held on for a minute, you'd give us the key. Here's the key. The key is found here in verse 7. It says this, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. What's the key? The key is obedience. God did a work. Pastor Brian preached this morning, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ's return. What's the key to the completion? Pastor Brian touched on it a little bit. The key to your completion is your obedience to what God tells you to do. He's going to start doing things in your life, and there's going to come a point where it requires your response to him. Yes. What are you going to do about it? Was this man just going to walk around for the rest of his life? He could have. He said, this joker done spit in the ground and rubbed it in my eyes, and now I can't see, and now my face stinks. He could have walked around like that, mad. Sometimes God does stuff in your life and it makes you mad. Well, God, why'd you have to go and do that for? A friend that you really shouldn't be with anymore decides they're not going to be around you anymore. Well, God, why'd you have to go and do that? Or you've been praying for God to move in a certain way and then you lose your job. Well, God, why'd you have to go do that? So my glory could be revealed in you. Because I want something greater for your life than what you see in front of you. So not seeing, not understanding, but having the faith to listen, the man went to the pool and washed his eyes, and he could see again. Now I want you to catch something in this. God was showing himself mighty. He was demonstrating who he was. The man washed. As a result of his obedience to wash his eyes off, without question, he could see again. But I want you to look at this verse again. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. Now, Pastor Brian talked to you, who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Sometimes, God gets you to a certain point, and he's working on you, and he's clinking those hammers together, and he's doing things. And the key to opening and breaking is when you decide you're going to be obedient when he sends you. He told him to go wash in a pool called Sent. What's God sending you to do? He started something in you. He didn't start something in you for you to hang out in a church and sit on a bench or a seat, for you to just read your Bible when you're at home. No, no, no. If I recall, Jesus said, so that the works of God should be revealed in him. No one's going to see the work of God in your life unless you go. Jesus didn't heal you just for you. He loves you. Yes, he cares for you. He didn't fix your mess just for you. He didn't begin to fix it all just so that you could walk through life and feel honky-dory, go to McDonald's, eat an ice cream, sit with your church family, and that's all you do. Jesus didn't call. I don't think all y'all getting it yet. I don't care your age. I don't care if you're little. I don't care if you're 95. God. And he's still saying, if you just listen to where I'm telling you to go. Because he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Sometimes the things in your life don't line up until you decide to go. There are exact points where I can sit here and I can tell you God was doing this and this and this in my life. And he said, do this. Go there. And it wasn't until us as a family decided we're going to listen to God and we went to where we went. And then that portion of that work that he was doing was taken a little further. Every place that I've been in my life, God's taught me something else. It doesn't matter the pain. That had to be painful. There's a point, I'm going to read it to you real quick. But the Jew, and this is after the man already told this ding-dong council of people what Jesus did. And he says, the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, even though everybody in town had been talking about it. Even though everybody in town talking about what God's doing, nobody believed them. So they called the parents of him. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born, who say you was blah, blah. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he see now? So they called somebody close to them. And they said, this is your son. How's he see? There are going to be people in your life that are close to you. And there's going to come a moment where people are going to begin to question about what God's doing in your life. And they're going to say, well, you know so-and-so. How did that happen? And those people are going to chicken out. And they're going to answer something dumb like this. We know this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes, we don't know. He's of age. Ask him. He can speak for himself. That sounds like something that somebody would say if they just didn't know, right? But this is what the Bible says. It says this. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, because they had already agreed that if anybody could confess that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. How badly do you think that hurt that young man? His parents, who should be more excited the fact that God healed his life than anybody else. There are people in your life that should be more excited about what God's doing in your life, but they are afraid of what will happen if they begin to confess that Jesus Christ, the same. And in that moment, they abandoned him and they said, ask him, he can figure it out. That's like me looking at my son saying, well, son, you're old enough. You can figure it out, and walking away, old enough to answer for himself
was anywhere from the age of 13 and up, or 12 and up. He was a Jew. He could be as young as 12 years old. Says he was a man. That doesn't matter at this point. In the Jewish culture, 12 years old considers you a man. He could have been a teenager, y'all. He also could have been grown, but is young enough to have parents that they called to. How? How does he see mom and dad? How did this happen, Marilyn? How did such and such happen in Marilyn's life? Well, I don't know. Ask her. That's painful. To be rejected and pushed. Thrown out there on your own by the people who should be the most excited about what God's doing. And yet, God was still saying, so my glory can be revealed in you. In every place that we've been, there's been pain, without a shadow of a doubt. That pain was there to force me to grow. I had a sweet woman of God one time who used to come up to me. Liz, come here. She used to come up to me, especially when I was struggling, and I would not tell her nothing. I wouldn't. She could just see it. She was one of them seers. I don't know anybody like that. Just kidding. And she would come up to me and she would pray. And our spirits, would we would begin to pray together. And she would come up to me and she would take her finger and go like this into my rib cage. Now, I have tender ribs. And it would hurt. And I remember this one day, and she kept coming, and she was praying, and she was going like this, and pushing, you can go sit down, and pushing into my rib cage. And she was saying stuff like, it hurts because he's trying to get rid of it. What? He doesn't want you to have nothing in common anymore. What? Nothing in common with the old man that died. If it hurts, you're still alive. And I would stand there, and I would look at her, and I'd say, but it hurts. If it hurts, that spot in your life is still alive. Right. If you're easily offended by this, that means that spot right there is still alive. What did Pastor Brian speak on this morning? Take that blue piece of tape, rip it off, and put it right there. God, we got to fix this. God, we got to fix this. He said, okay, we're going to fix it. I'm going to send you to such and such. And you're going to go this place, and I want you to wash there. Had I not been obedient to that, those things that I was dealing with would have never been healed. See, the story doesn't stop right here. It doesn't stop. This story is right here. Right here. I've taken myself, of myself. Guys, he took of himself. He was giving a foreshadowing moment. He was telling of the past and telling of the future because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was taking that moment and he was saying, let me take of myself and take of what you are and mix them together so that I can make something new. And when you're washed, you can see. God wants to do something new in your life. Right now, I can guarantee you, because I'm standing in this room myself, that there are those of us who have felt like we're worthless. There are those of us who have felt like we're rejected. Regardless of placement, position, title, character, ability, talent. We have felt rejection and worthless. And Jesus taking of himself and taking who you are and slathering himself over you healed. The man would have never known he was healed unless he went. What's God calling you to do? Where's he calling you to go? He's telling you to go somewhere. Do something. You want the glory revealed? How is it going to be revealed if you don't go? Where are you being called? He's sending. He's always sending. It doesn't end in the sanctuary. It doesn't end at the altar. This is a starting point. This is where the mud happens. On the banks of a river is where the mud is found that you can reach. Over and over and over again. And I'm talking straight to Southern Missouri. Over and over and over. There's a mighty river that flows in this place. There's a mighty river of God that flows in this place. And it starts from here and it goes out. Mud is naturally found at the bank of a river. I don't know about you, but if water comes up to here, don't that look like a bank? So when I'm on my face before God and I'm crying out and things are happening right here, you mean I'm in the mud where he can spread it over my eyes? And now guess what? He's going to send you out. Go. Go. You. And there you will receive your sight. We don't get all the answers until we do what God says. Amen. Sometimes God gives us a half answer. Right. It's like sometimes it's like he's given us a scavenger hunt. And he says, here's what I got for you right there. Now go over there and you're going to find the next piece. And then go over there and then you're going to find the next piece. Sometimes you don't get the answer until you go. Sometimes you don't get the answer until you put pen to paper. Pastor asked me a couple months ago to write a song, and I went, what? You want me to what? I write stuff all the time. I never sing it in front of people. Sing it to my piano and Jesus. Me, Jesus, and my piano. I think that's an Eddie James album, actually. And he said, I need you to write this song for Easter. And I said, okay. And I sat down to my piano and I went, thrum, and I hit all the notes at the same time. I do that frequently when I mess up. I just take my arms and thrum. And I said, God, I don't even understand. And he said, write these words. And I did. And as I began to write those words, more came. Because I was obedient to write the few. He gave me much. What does the Bible say? If you're faithful over little, he'll make you rulers of much more. Your pain, your anguish, the circumstances you're in now is not without production. It's not without God wanting to do something in and through you. What you're going through right now is not in vain. If you will obey him and go to the place called sent, you will see there at the place called sent the reason for everything you went through. I tell teenage girls all the time when they're going through something really difficult. I've had this conversation with a couple kids. I've had this conversation with this little girl sitting over here. We've had this conversation multiple times. What you're going through right now is a setup so that one day you can look in the eyes of another girl and say, sister, I've been there. And your story doesn't end here. What you've gone through is not gone through in vain. So one day, there's going to be another woman sitting who's gone through all the hell that you've been through. Some of it, you put yourself through. But it's not in vain, because you're going to be able to sit here and look at her and say, sister, this is not the end of your life. There's a place on the other side that you can go. And everything that you never thought possible, God's going to do in your life. Who you've been, where you've gone, is not in vain. It's not in vain at all. All the abuse, all the pain, all the nights where I laid awake, none of it was in vain. And the things I go through now are not in vain. To live, Paul said, is Christ. To die is gain. As long as I'm living, the glory of God can be revealed in my life. As long as I keep going where he's sending. That's right. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you, God, that you're faithful to complete what you started. God, I ask that right now in this moment that you speak to our hearts. God, that you speak to our hearts and show us what that next step is. What is our pool called sent? What is it, God? Show us so that we may be obedient. If you're in this room tonight and you're saying, I felt rejected, I felt worthless, but I know that what I've gone through is so that God may get glory. And you're ready to go to the place called sent. Because you know that if you sit in the same place with mud over your eyes, nothing's going to happen. If that's you in this house tonight, I'm going to invite you to come forward up to the front. I'm just going to pray for you real quickly. If that's you, I want you to come on up. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, I thank you.